Good morning. Welcome to Kairos Christian Church. My name is Emerson. I'm one of the staff members here. And our senior pastor, Pastor Peter, was invited to speak at one of our sister churches in Anaheim called Church of Southland because their senior pastor is currently on sabbatical. So I'm really excited because I have this opportunity to continue our Exodus series. And we're going to be looking at chapters 3 and 4. And this morning, we're going to take a look at Moses and his encounter with God and see how it teaches us to deepen our relationship with Christ. And for this series, we changed our seating format. We brought in some round tables. I've come up with some discussion questions as well as an outline for you guys to fill out. And we encourage you to share your thoughts and your ideas with one another when these questions come up. So before we begin, we're going to look at one kind of icebreaker question. What was the most important or funny call that you have ever received and why? Okay, what was the most important, most memorable, most funny call that you have ever received and why? So we're going to take around 5 to 6 minutes to discuss this question. All right, let's bring it back. Okay. So when we receive a call, usually the person on the other end will introduce themselves. And with that identity comes the purpose of the call. Right? For example, if a telemarketer calls you, they're trying to sell you a service or a product. Or if you have a child in school, if you receive a call from the school, you know that maybe your child is in trouble. Maybe they did something bad, right? So whatever the call is, right, there's a purpose and reason of why that person is calling. So just a little background. In this passage in chapter 3, it's been 40 years since chapter 2. In chapter 2, Moses, he kills an Egyptian, and he runs away to the land of Midian. In chapter 3, right, he marries Jethro's daughter, and he becomes a shepherd. And while he's tending the sheep, he goes up to a mountain, and there God reveals himself. Not only that, but he also reveals his purpose to Moses. And in this interaction between God and Moses, we learn that when God speaks, he has a desire to reveal himself, his purpose, and his patience. When God speaks, he has a desire to reveal himself, his purpose, and his patience. These three revelations are designed to bring us into an increasingly deeper and profound relationship with our God. So the first point, God reveals himself. When God speaks, he often reveals something about himself. Right? It could be his nature, his character, and his name. When Moses, he's in front of the burning bush on Mount Horeb, God calls out to him. And he says, Moses, Moses. He says it twice, and this is significant because in Hebrew culture, when you repeat a name twice, it's a sign of intimacy. When Jesus, he was on the cross, before he died, before he took his last breath, he cries out, "My God, my God." When God calls out to Abraham, he says, "Abraham, Abraham." Right? It's a sign of intimacy. It was often used in the context between a father and a son. God wanted a loving relationship with Moses, so he reached out to him. Not only that, but the creator of the universe revealed his own name to Moses. And this is significant because this is the first time that God has actually revealed his name to humanity. And he does it to Moses, right? He reveals something personal about himself. In verse 14, it says, "I am who I am." Right? This was God's name. Besides revealing his name, he also reveals one more part of his nature, and that's his nature of holiness. In verse 5, he says, "Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." When God calls out to him, this is where Moses understood the nature of God, that he was intimate, he's a personal God, as well as he is a holy God. And because of time, we're just going to focus on the intimacy of God. Right, to have a deep relationship with Christ, we need to understand what it means to have intimacy with the Father. Because without intimacy, our faith cannot grow. We cannot grow deeper in Christ. So this is, we're going to our second table talk discussion. What do you think intimacy means, and what does it look like for you? Right? What do you think intimacy means, and what does it look like for you?
He revealed.
All right, let's bring it back. So James Dobson, he's a renowned psychologist and founder of Focus on the Family. He uses a really clever way to describe intimacy. He says intimacy is into me see, right? Into me see, very clever. He describes it as a blending of our heart with another's so that we can see into them and they can see into us. Right, that's what vulnerability is. So when God reveals himself, he's allowing us to see into him. He reveals his name, his character, and that we can see him. Right? God already sees into us, but he's allowing us to see him. So you see, when God reveals himself first, he is pursuing a love relationship with us. That's the first fill in the blank. When God reveals himself first, he is pursuing a love relationship with us. Right? He's always taking that initiative in our love relationship. Right? God always initiates. In John 15, 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you." And when we respond to this invitation, he's bringing us into a love relationship with himself. And for us, the reality is that if we have never known this love, if we never experienced his presence, we would never experience his presence unless God reaches out to us first. In the narrative of the burning bush, Moses was invited to be in a relationship with God. And if God didn't reach out to him first, Moses would still be tending sheep in the land of Midian. Likewise for us, if God didn't reach out to us first, we will still be in our sin. There was a season Annie and I were dealing with just some family issues. Okay, I'm going to use Annie. For me, like the way I deal with issues is I just want to get it done. Right? I'm going to come up with a plan. I'm going to allocate my resources, try to fix the situation. And I'll do that all the time. However, each time we just end up fighting. We end up fighting so much. And because Annie, she constantly says, "Can you stop trying to fix the situation and just listen to me? I don't want you to fix the situation. I just want to know that you're listening." And sadly, it took me months to finally realize what she meant. You know, for many of us, we're wired the exact same way towards God. We feel like intimacy translates into, I'll get close to God by doing things. And if I don't do things, God won't love me. And all the while, God is telling us, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to be in a loving relationship with me. And please don't get me wrong. Right? Our relationship is both with God is both intimacy as well as serving him. It's both and, it's not either or. But for many of us, we swung so much to one side of trying to do things to earn his love that God, he's swinging us back, he's trying to bring us back to our basic purpose in life, and that's to be in a loving and intimate relationship with him. Because when that gets skewed, our perception of God changes. We begin to think God and the church is using us. We begin to think that, oh, as long as I do things, I'll be accepted by God and by the church. So what are some practical ways to deepen our intimacy with God? During premarital counseling, you learn about the 5 C's of a healthy relationship. It's compatibility, communication, compromise, compassion, and commitment. If you look online, some of the C's, they vary, but there are 2 that are always the same, and that's communication and commitment. So that's the 2nd fill in the blank. Communication and commitment are the practical ways to deepen your intimacy with God. Right, for us to deepen our relationship or any relationship, there needs to be communication. And for us with God, it's communication in the form of prayer. When we pray, it's easier for us to talk to God, right? We love to ask God for things. We love to ask God to help us in situations, for promotions, for more money, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But like a dialogue, like a relationship, right, there needs to be a person listening. And for us, we can talk, but for many of us, it's really difficult for us to listen because listening requires us to be silent and to wait. And when we're silent and we wait in the middle of this society, right, there's so many things flooding our minds and our minds are racing. We start thinking, what's for lunch, right? What's for dinner? Why did the Warriors lose in Game 7? However, as you get into the rhythm of talking and communicating and listening to God, your mind and your heart will become more disciplined. As your mind and heart become more disciplined, these things start to distract you less. And you begin to hear him. You begin to know his voice. And as you begin to do that, you begin to enjoy being with him. And when you hear his voice, it's probably not going to be audible. I know very few people who have heard, or if any, actually, who have heard the voice of God. But God reveals himself. His revelation comes in different forms. It comes by the Spirit, maybe speaking to our hearts. Or maybe God is using his word and something in the word pops out at you. Or maybe God is using the church, right, to encourage you. And as you dialogue, as you communicate with God, as you do that more often, as you get into the rhythm, you know, of communicating, you'll begin to understand his ways. You'll begin to understand his purposes. And you'll begin to understand his desires for you. Another way to deepen your relationship with Christ is through commitment. Time is important. To know someone, it takes time and it takes energy. And there are moments where you feel like God isn't there, right? But he is. Sometimes it's going to feel like a waiting game and you feel like you're talking to a wall. But sometimes God makes you wait because he wants to see how hungry you are. He wants to see how much you desire to be with him. In the New Testament, in Luke 2:25 through 35, there is a prophet named Simeon. He spent his entire life sitting at the temple gates. And one day he sees Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. And he says, "Praise be to God that God has allowed me to live this long to lay my eyes upon his salvation." Right? He waited. In Lamentations 3:25, it says, "The Lord is good for those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." Intimacy is something that most, if not everybody, struggles with, especially myself. I'm wired to want to be busy because when I'm doing things, I feel productive. I feel like I'm accomplishing something. However, there are few moments in my life where I've experienced intimacy. It doesn't come often, but it just feels so natural. I can engage with God without a guitar, without music. And I could just sit there and just soak in his presence.
You see, intimacy is very important. We need intimacy with God. We need to draw near to him because that's how we begin to develop our faith. And we don't have that. It stunts our growth. So I want to encourage you, if you're struggling, don't just rub it off. Pursue that intimacy. Take time, right? Communicate with God, even if it feels like he is not listening. Right? Try to engage with Jesus or God once a month or maybe once a week and just sit there. And your mind is going to race. You're going to start thinking about a lot of things. But as you do it more often, as you get into the rhythm of it, you'll begin to enjoy him. Right? So commit and communicate. The second point is God reveals his purpose. When God reveals himself to us, he also reveals a purpose in our lives. Do you believe that God has a purpose for you? Henry Blackaby, author of Experiencing God, he says, God reveals himself to increase faith that leads to action. Listen attentively to what God reveals to you about himself, because what he shows you will be critical when you come to a crisis of belief. And before I explain that, we're going to look at what crisis of belief or crisis of faith means. Crisis of belief are moments, right? Moments, plural, meaning it's reoccurring when you must decide whether to believe God for what he wants to do through you, right? To fulfill his purpose. And the word crisis comes from the Greek word krisis, which also means decision or judgment, right? It's a turning point in our faith walk with Christ. So what Henry Blackaby is saying is that in your crisis of faith, when you have to decide, you must believe God because what you believe about God is extremely important. The way you respond to this turning point in your life will determine whether or not you join God in his purposes or you walk out doing your own thing and you miss out. God invited Moses to participate in a God-sized plan, right, to free the slaves. It was an impossible task that Moses could not do himself. He needed to trust that God was faithful. He needed to trust that God was powerful. And once he trusted, once he submitted to that, then he was able to complete the task. You see, when we take action and when we accept his invitation, it reflects our belief about God. Right? This is the fourth fill in the blank. When we take action, when we accept his invitation, it reflects what we believe about God. So how do we usually respond as a people? In the 19th century, around 1859, there was a man, a tightrope walker named Charles Blondin. And during this time, he wanted to walk across the Niagara Falls using a tightrope. And he would do crazy stunts on it. And each time he would ask, do you believe I can do this? And people would cry, we believe, right? Like Warriors fans. So one day he said, do you believe that I can carry my assistant on my back and walk across the Niagara Falls? And people would say, we believe, and he does it. Next time he says, do you believe that I can cook an egg in the middle of the rope and eat it? And people will cry, we believe, and he does it. Then he says, do you believe that I can carry a person in a wheelbarrow? And people will say, yes, we believe. Then he spots a man full of passion, so just ready to like die for Charles Blondin. He's so passionate for this man. And so Charles Blondin goes down and says, sir, do you believe that I can do this? The man says, yes, Charles Blondin, I believe that you can do this. Charles Blondin smiles and says, sir, get in. And the man smiles and refused. You see, we're a lot like the spectator. We cheer from the sideline. We go to church. We sing these songs about God's God's fortress. He's our shield. He is our rock. We believe that he's almighty. He's all powerful. And for some of us, we witness the greatness of God. However, when God invites you to join him in his work, when he asks you to take action, something changes. We begin to doubt his abilities. We begin to doubt his promises. We begin to doubt that when God says, I will be with you, and we just do our own thing. So you see, our crisis of belief is confirmed not simply by what we believe. We can sing all the songs. We can say all the right things, read the right things. But what actions we take will determine what you believe in your life. Our crisis of faith comes in all different shapes and sizes. For many of us, it's not as large as Moses, right? To free slaves, right? God, maybe God is not calling you to set, people free in Southeast Asia who are enslaved by human trafficking. Or maybe your crisis of faith is to decide whether or not to go on missions in the summer, right? Because your PTO, right, is precious. Your PTO allows you to do your own thing. Or maybe God is calling you to evangelize to your family member. But you're saying, God, I'm just really scared. I don't know enough Bible. I don't want to do it. Maybe even God is asking you to tithe more. But you're just holding so tightly to your money that this is my God. This is not yours. Don't touch it. How will you respond? How will you respond to God's call when he invites you to join him in his plan? Right? When his plan seems impossible to complete on your own, but he's saying, I will be with you. Just trust me. So this is our third table talk. Share with your group what you think your crisis of faith is currently. If you don't have one currently right now, which is okay, share some that have happened in the past. We're going to spend a little bit more time on this question, so.
All right, let's bring it back. All right, we're going to go into our third point. Third point, that God reveals his patience. So stepping out in faith is a very difficult task. Even if we experienced supernatural encounters with God, we find ourselves still coming up with a million excuses as to why not to join God in his task. However, from this passage, we see that God is patient with our excuses. Instead of ignoring us because we are too weak, he is patient with our insecurities and his assurances. And his assurances not only just comfort us, but they actually guide us and lead us to a position where we can say yes and to take up that challenge. And when God approaches Moses, instead of embracing his purpose, you know, Moses, he comes up with excuses. He comes up with five excuses. And these excuses are lack of credentials. He says, Lord, who am I? Lack of content. Lord, what shall I say? Lack of converts. Lord, what happens if they don't believe me? Lack of communication skills. Lord, I am slow of speech. And the last one, lack of commitment. Lord, please, please send someone else. How many of you believe that when we start coming up with excuses, they can actually cause us to miss out in joining God's plan? Right? This is the fifth fill in the blank. That our excuses cause us to miss out on God's plan. Jesus, he emphasizes this in the parable of the great banquet in Luke 14, 16 through 24. The king's son wants to host a banquet for the entire kingdom. So the king sends out his servants to invite his friends. And each friend comes up with an excuse and refuses to join the king's banquet. One friend said that,
I just acquired some land. I can't go. Another one said, I'm getting married. I can't go. And the last one said, I'm in the middle of a business transaction. I'm too busy. I can't go. The king, furious, rescinded those invitations and invited the outcast. He invited the poor, the lame, the brokenhearted, and they accepted, and they were able to join the great banquet. You see, when we are in a crisis of faith, God is giving us a choice to join him in his work. Like the people the king's son invited. And sometimes we come up with excuses. We can choose to ignore it, or ignore him, or we can join him. And sometimes our excuses, they seem legitimate, right? From the world's perspective, we seem not capable. We're not smart enough. We're not bright enough. We're too busy. Regardless, these are still excuses. We have to trust what God has planned for us is greater than our situation, greater than our excuses. You know, but when we take that leap of faith to join him, when he invites us, it opens another level of faith in God. We get to experience God in a totally new way, in a way that we've never imagined. And I understand that some of us are not in a place to respond to God immediately. Right? It's a growing process. There are parts of my life where God has placed crises of faith, but I'm still thinking of ways, thinking of excuses as to why I should not do it. However, the beauty of this narrative is that God responds to Moses with patience. He understands that we're battling our insecurities, that we're not smart enough, that we're not good enough, that we're too busy. And as Moses comes up with 5 excuses, God replies immediately with 5 answers and signs to reassure Moses that he is with him. And this is the nature of our God. He is a patient God. He is a compassionate God. In Exodus 34:6, it says, and he passed, right, meaning God, in front of Moses, proclaiming the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. God's patience leads us to a position where we can say yes. And this is the 6th fill in the blank. God's patience leads us to a position where we can say yes. Our yes does not have to be a firm yes. We don't need to be 100% in. It can be a weak, it can be a wavering yes. It can be, God is taking us from 49% yes to 51% yes. The beautiful thing is that God still uses that. He's looking for people who are willing to take a chance with him even when the odds are stacked against them. And while I was in China, I had a small crisis of faith. I felt that God wanted me to start praying for healing for others. And if you know my background, I grew up in a very charismatic household. My mom would take me to a lot of revival meetings, and I would just see a lot of things. However, as I got into middle school, high school, and college, I stopped seeing those things, and I became very, very cynical. I still believed in my mind that God healed, but it wasn't a reality in my life. It only happened to other people. So while I was in Shanghai, or in China, I just felt that tug again. And one Sunday, it was just really strong, and I felt that God wanted me to pray for this one specific person. And her name is Cherry, right? In China, they have very interesting names, right? It's like Harry Potter 1, Cherry, Gundam Wing, Wing Zero, things like that. They have really interesting names. So this girl, her name is Cherry. Cherry, she suffers from, what's it, herniated, she has a herniated disc in her back. And so she's completely, she has, her arm's completely numb or something like that, and she can't walk for very long. So God is calling me to pray for this lady. And I'm just really reluctant. I'm like, God, I'm not ready. What happens if I fail? So there's a lot of pride going on. And so I reluctantly say yes. Right? And God, and I just pray for this person. And after I say amen, I said, do you feel anything different? She says no. Right? I don't feel anything different. And I feel very defeated. I feel like, God, you let me down. I knew that this wasn't going to happen. I look like a fool. But around a month later, Cherry approaches me and she says, do you remember that time you prayed for me? Her herniated spinal disc was healed. Instead of months and months of therapy, she only had 2 weeks worth of therapy. Her doctors were in awe. And for me, this experience opened another level of faith in God. I saw him as a God who truly healed. Right? It wasn't a story anymore. It wasn't knowledge anymore. It became a reality in my life. When we start making excuses, God, he brings confirmations into our lives to reassure us that he is going to be with us. He patiently deals with our insecurities and reassures us and guides us to a place where we can take up that challenge. He says that he will be with us. Just trust in me, and I will change the nations through you. I just want to conclude with this. You know, our revelation of God is extremely important. Our growth in Christ stems from these revelations. These revelations are needed to grow in Christ. For some of us, it could be that God is revealing himself to have intimacy with us because we swung so much to one side of trying to work at our faith, to work at trying to earn his love. For others, God is bringing you to a place where you choose him in a crisis of faith. Right? Whatever your situation is, I just want to encourage you to respond. Right, respond to his call for intimacy. Respond to his call when you face a crisis of belief. Because when you respond, when you accept his invitation, it brings us into an increasingly deeper and profound relationship with him.